Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started.
Happy Saturday!
Hey, we back.
Yes.
Be a good one, ladies. BE community, excuse me. I know we have some gentlemen out there too, so it's going to be a good one. All right. We have a special guest with us before we introduce her. How's everyone doing?
Okay.
How you doing, Toya?
You know, life in the Morehouse Hole is always interesting. So, you know,
Mason Chronicles.
Oh my goodness. So I'll just say yesterday he has this little purple dolphin that he carries with him everywhere. And so his teachers know about the dolphin. And so he, I guess, placed it somewhere in the classroom and the teacher was frantically looking for the dolphin.
Oh, he lost it. He couldn't find it.
And so Ryan had picked him up, and then she found it, and she took a picture of where it was. It was on this, like, I guess they have, like, a dollhouse, and this purple little swing, and so he had the purple dolphin in the purple swing. It was blending in.
Yeah.
So Ryan came back and grabbed it, but, like, oh, Lord. Mason's got the teachers. Keeping up with this little dolphin because they know it's like his little security toy.
Hey, I love a purple dolphin. Well, shall we introduce our special guest?
Yes, I have the privilege of introducing Jonika Swain. She was born Jonika Smith in Gary, Indiana. She went from ghetto to glamour, okay, from homeless to a homeowner in 2 months. I'm so excited to hear about that. That portion of the story. Gracefully guided by God from a life of confusion, pain, and chaos to a life with abundance and love, joy, peace, on a mission to become who God has graced her to be. I'm so excited for this. She goes by Joni as well.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Hi, everybody. I'm Joni.
Joni, we got to catch up because I hadn't even read your bio, but I'm from Gary, Indiana, too.
No way.
I am. I was born in Maryville.
When I tell you God, don't say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Born in Maryville. Raised in Gary, Indiana, was there for the first few years of my life, moved to Hammond, Indiana for a year, and then we moved up to Minnesota, which is where I spent, like, my primary education before I came here for school. So, yeah, so we're connected. Yes, yes. I'm excited. I can't wait to hear.
I've met so many people from back home.
So
it's kind of refreshing.
You know,
when people are like, oh, I'm from Gary, too.
Yes. That's what's up. That's what's up. We're going to be a good one, y'all. We got fam in the building, okay? So we're going to get into it.
We got to take it back a little bit now to what had happened was.
Yes.
You all know Maya has been messing with me all seasons long.
Yes, in case you ain't know.
All seasons long about, you know, me and my personality and my standoffish type of personality.
Just first impression. Just the first impressions. Sweetest pie once you get to know.
I know I could. Yes, thank you. So, I know Miss Joni has some impressions of me. Because I was like, Maya, I said, I know I was probably looking at her funny and crazy. And like, God had shown me this dream about her. And I was like, why are you showing me this dream about Joni? Like, okay, so Joni, give the fans a recap about how you and I met. Okay. And then your first impressions of me.
So, and I met because our daughters are Girl Scouts.
Girl Scouts!
And we're both leaders, so I'm assisting her with the daisies. So, yeah, it's really fun. And, like, my first impression, honestly, who I am now, I don't judge off of first impressions anymore. But who I was before, a little triggered.
All right.
Because she is standoffish, but I am too.
Yeah.
So I understood. Mm-hmm. And then, like, her reaction towards, like, other people.
Oh.
I found it funny. So I was like, it's more so Latoya than that pretty hair. And then I started talking to her, and I was like, she's funny. So, yeah, goodbye. More to come for sure.
Would you like to defend your case at all, Toya? Listen, or are you afraid to incriminate?
I'm not trying to put our truth business out there.
Okay.
But Joni knows the situation.
Got it.
So, you know, I was like, I don't know about you, Joni, because it's... I don't know. You came in, and I didn't know how you were going to treat me because how I was being treated.
Got it.
By someone.
Got it.
And so I probably was like, "Yeah, I don't know.
Okay,
hey, like I'm cool with your kid. Like, yeah. You know, I don't know.
You know, I'm a scope the scene.
Yes,
there you go.
That's how I am. I scope the scene.
Okay,
before I open up. To people.
Makes sense.
You know, that's just,
yeah.
I've always kind of been like that.
Makes
because
sense.
Of times I've been hurt by other women and stuff. So I'm very cautious about who I let into my world, into my circle.
That's understandable. It really is. So I get it. I just want to say shout out to the Girl Scouts, y'all. On my honor, yes. I will try to serve God in my country to help people at all times and live by the Girl Scout law. I mean, I rep. I'm a former Girl Scout as well. I learned and gained a lot of life experiences that way. So I love the fact that both of your girls are like involved in Girl Scouts. So that's amazing.
Yes. Shout out to Troop 10440.
Hey, and get your cookies. If you ain't already got your cookies, get your cookies.
Is it wrapping up? We wrapping up the season.
Oh, never mind. I hope you got your cookies.
I hope you got them.
Because you know it's only once a year. You know. All right. But yes. Shout out to Girl Scouts. I love it. So without further ado, we're gonna dive into your origin story. I cannot wait, y'all. It's so many gems just from the bio alone, so we about to get into it. Wow. Okay, so kick us off first off and just tell us like where you grew up, like where you're from and what it was like for you growing up.
Okay, so you might as well say that I just grew up in Gary. On this side, on that side.
Yeah.
That's how we moved. Like, grandma's house or mama's house, aunt's house. So we was all over.
Got it.
But I was born on the east side.
Okay.
17th,
okay.
By my mommy.
Yes.
Who is the apple of my eye. But yes, my mom had me very young.
Okay.
And her support system, it was pretty strong up until I started to grow and be exposed to more, and I realized where our family foundation was weak from all of the things that I had experienced. And it took me to get in a safe place, which was obviously outside of my environment, to actually come, like, you know, tempo before, okay, that's why I went through that. Okay, I understand now. But being in it, it's like, why is it happening to me? Like, what did I do? But now, sitting here, it's like, oh, okay.
This moment. Hindsight is always 20/20, as painful as things may be. And we'll tread lightly, depending on what you're comfortable sharing and what you're not comfortable sharing. But what age would you say how long did it take you to get to your safe place, so to speak?
My safe place took me 30-something
odd years. Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay. So along the way, and hold your mic up a little bit so we can hear you. But along the way, what would you say how early were you exposed to trauma, so to speak?
From
the moment you
my first
But did you realize it was trauma initially? When did you realize, like, this isn't normal or this
when
is
I was being
negatively
punished for what I was exposed to?
Got it. Got it. Okay. So your age from, I would say, from like, let's talk adolescence, elementary school. Can you briefly describe what that time in your life was like?
Yes. It was a very dark time.
Okay.
I lost my grandfather's very early in my life. So it was from a transition of a tragic family house fire, which my grandfather passed away in, saving my grandmother and my aunts and uncles, and he collapsed and passed away.
How old were you when that happened?
I was going to, I want to say, first or kindergarten, because we had already moved to Glen Park.
Okay.
I lived in the Color Doors.
Okay.
Oh, that's when my mom got her place. She was in the Color Doors.
Wow.
And we ended up moving to Glen Park. And
wow.
I was going to Franklin. And, well, I was getting ready to go to Franklin. So it's either kindergarten or first grade in there. I can't remember the exact date. I think it was 1991, but I can't remember.
No, that's fine.
I try to block out a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
That was traumatic, but I have been unraveling a lot because, you know, I want to get to the meat of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, really walk the walk. So about kindergarten, first grade, everything was normal as far as I was used to, but I did have a rough transition because I was in like a really bad car accident with my aunt and uncle.
Oh wow!
And that was like one of those like flashing moments. And I want to say I was 6 or 7.
Okay.
And it got messed up real bad because I didn't have a seatbelt on. And mind you, they're teenagers.
Yeah.
So. Like my face was destroyed. Like I got a little bitty scar above my lip from it, but it used to be real big. So in that period, it was what I was introduced to as I guess grief was my first introduction to grief. And I held on to that because I'm a Capricorn, so I don't really show emotion outward. Express myself through word, creativity, art, and things like that. I was raised on self-love. So
got it.
I'm like, you know.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Because you know, I'm not a warrior. I'm a warrior. Like, and that's just how I was raised.
Warrior, O-R-R-I-E-R. Yes. You're a warrior, A-W-A-R-R-I-O-R, for our podcast people.
Amen.
Got it. Okay, go ahead.
So I've known God my whole life. I had to find God because I wouldn't have made it.
Wow. When would you say you found God? Like, I mean, because that's a lot of
time at an early age, you know?
Yeah. Kindergarten, 5, 6.
I got baptized as a baby.
Oh, wow.
I've been baptized a total of 4 times. All on my own, other than when I was a baby. I got baptized again when I was maybe 10. I had one of those come to Jesus moments. And then I got baptized 2 more times. One as a teenager and then one as an adult.
Got it. Okay. And would you say with each baptism, it was either you making the decision or you coming back to God? Like, what would you say?
I wouldn't say coming back. I would say mostly becoming stronger, like a new elevation, a new essence, coming out of what was and stepping into what will be. I've never left God. There's never been a moment in my life where I was like, I don't trust God, I don't believe in God. You know, that has never happened for me. But I have had moments where I'm like, okay, God, like, like you said, that you never leave nothing. I don't feel you right now.
And that's real. That's legitimate. I'm just thinking because there are so many directions you could have gone, but what caused you to turn to God in the first place, you know?
Those directions. Because I went.
Wow. Trial and error, huh?
For sure. Yeah. For sure. That's all my testimony is. Me. Keep going, no matter what the odds are. And then reflecting and realize how much of that was self-inflicted.
Why would you say something was self, or how, what, can you give an example of something that was self-inflicted?
I was removed from my mom's home.
Okay.
Young, mm-hmm. at the age of 12. Mm-hmm. There was a situation that happened with an adult,
mm-hmm.
Some inappropriate things happened.
Mm-hmm.
I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
He was 21.
Got it.
He knew how old I was.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was mm-hmm. the whole debacle. Mm-hmm. And there will be more details in my book.
All right. Plug.
But so that happened. And the courts definitely mm-hmm. basically, because my mom threw her hands up. I was like, if you do a better job than me, have at it.
So where were you placed when you
were when I first got removed, they put me in Edgewater to be evaluated.
Oh wow.
Which came back that I had all kinds of disorders.
Mm-hmm.
But I was living in a war zone. So.
Yeah,
I had a lot of disorders.
Were they treated, or was anything, and I'm not just saying treated like with medication, but like, was there any type of therapy regimen or anything?
I was in therapy from 12 into 17.
Do you feel like it helped, or Absolutely. Was it kind of like whatever, you know?
Yes. Once I allowed it to, mm-hmm. obviously in the midst of that and the hardening of mm-hmm. my, you know, the core of my stuff, I wasn't able to receive the help
in it.
But I did take a lot of those experiences with me throughout my journey. So I learned a lot. I was exposed to a lot. I got a lot of different experiences that I wouldn't have been able to have mm-hmm. if my mom did not put me in those places. I camped for the first time. I went hiking.
Yeah.
We call it doing white people stuff.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as bad mm-hmm. as it felt. Obviously I miss my family like that, but it broadened my horizon and it mm-hmm. exposed me to more, and it showed me that mm-hmm. I wasn't the only person in the world mm-hmm. hurting, and it happened to everybody.
That's the grace of God that in a scenario like that, number one, you were put in a safe place, and that you were provided resources that could actually help you. Because I mean, of course, we know there are countless stories of people that have been removed from their home, and it's kind of like, you know, going from bad to worse right. in a lot of cases. So I'm glad that you are able, even now, even if you maybe weren't able to see it right then, that now you're kind of able to see how God even used that whole scenario to help you to heal and grow and be exposed to new and different things. So that's amazing. Wow. Oh, so you were, this is at Edgewater where you were?
When I first transitioned from my mom to the state.
Okay.
They put me in Edgewater for evaluation.
Okay.
And then after my court date, I ended up going to my first placement, which was called the A House.
Okay.
I was there for a little while, maybe like 6 months.
Okay.
And then I was able to go back home.
Okay.
And then I got removed from my mom's home again.
At what age this time?
It wasn't too long.
Okay.
After that, maybe, I want to say, so from 12
mm-hmm.
to 17,
mm-hmm.
I was in and out of placement.
Got it.
From the end of my freshman year
mm-hmm.
to the end of my junior year,
mm-hmm.
I was in a lockdown facility.
Oh, wow.
Where I couldn't do anything. Unless I, you know, are like
passed
stuff like that. And then I got to, you know, go home for business like holidays,
yeah,
stuff like that. But I had to earn it.
What was that like?
It was different for sure. Yeah. It wasn't what I was used to, because I had an abundance of privileges.
Mm-hmm.
I had too much freedom. Mm-hmm. I was not responsible.
Meaning your mother's home?
Yes, got it. I was not responsible enough for my position.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I wasn't able to.
Mm-hmm.
It just, so much had already transpired.
Yeah.
And I couldn't. I wasn't mature enough.
Wow.
To handle being the oldest, mm-hmm. and being responsible for my younger siblings,
mm-hmm.
and the household while my mom's working.
Yeah, and honestly, you weren't supposed, you shouldn't have had to be that responsible. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, of course you grow and you develop and you learn, but you know, you weren't technically the primary caregiver of your siblings. Your mother was, so, right. You know, or should have been. But so you were literally in a lockdown facility for the majority of your high school years, in and out of your mom's custody until you were 17. So by the time you turned, like, were you able to graduate high school?
Yes.
Okay, praise God for that. That's huge.
Yes.
What pushed you over?
My mom.
Amen for your mama. For real. Y'all not like, for real. That's amazing. Praise God. So you finished high school by the grace of God. Were you in your mom's home when you graduated, or were you okay? Praise God. So what was that transition like, coming out of high school and transitioning into what we call, and I'm saying that loosely, y'all, air quotes here, adulthood, because we know there's still a lot of growing to do at that point. But yeah,
it was rough because I was new, but my environment was still the same.
Yeah.
So trying to still become who I wanted to be in that environment was challenging. Made mistakes, you know, what they would call backslide.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I drifted.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, all throughout my life, until I figured out what it was that I wanted to focus on. And since that epiphany, it's been nonstop ever since.
Wow.
I think she's already segued into becoming Joni.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yes. So how's your relationship now with your mom after going through all those different experiences?
It's a lot better because I'm able to express myself now. Before I wasn't, I was afraid of her. And I didn't want to disappoint her or let her down and have her thinking less of me. Mm. So a lot of things that I felt or my viewpoints or my opinions, I kept them to myself because I knew that they were not in alignment with who she was as a person.
Mm. How did you know that, though? Because I'm like, literally for, and of course, you know, you mentioned that your mother had you at a very early age, but the compassion that exudes from you in the midst of everything that you went through while under her care, like, how is that possible? Tell me how you're able to have compassion, to not hold any bitterness or resentment or, you know what I mean, towards your mom. That's amazing.
Because I have had my moments, which
okay.
You know, the journals.
Okay.
But I processed them because I understand now that my perception is not the truth in its entirety.
Say that one more time.
My perception is not the truth in its entirety.
My Lord. Wow. So talk about this. You got a stack of journals in front of you for those that cannot see. When did you start journaling? Why did you start journaling? All of that. How was it? We see how it's helped you, but when and why did you start journaling?
Okay, so all my life, my mom used to call me a TV baby. So I guess I have like a star-like essence. Mm-hmm. I've been hearing it all my life. Well, you look familiar.
Yeah.
You're talented.
Yeah.
You know, so I hear God when God is speaking. It took me a while to accept that was who I was. Everything about my life said, nah, I'm not too good. But then again, on the flip side, yeah.
That's
why. So, like I said, it all makes sense now.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, growing up at school, I was like,
put the mic close.
I was like, yeah, but no.
Yeah.
So, wow. I started journaling very early.
Okay. How old would you say?
Because I could write.
Are you serious? Mm-hmm. Like elementary?
Yeah.
Were you writing like Dear Diary or My Day?
I was writing little short stories.
I was on one of these. Yeah. I'm a fan of Pooh. That was my nickname growing up. So, wow. So you really started that early.
Winnie the Pooh.
Was it like a teacher or your mom or anybody that encouraged you? Did you see it on TV? Like, how did you just decide I'm going to start writing stuff down?
My mom taught me how to read and write.
Amen.
I started talking and walking and moving very early. Before I could even talk, I was singing and making a song from the crib before I could even walk.
That's what's up.
So I knew who I was. I just didn't know. As I grew, I started adapting to my environment other than just being who God called me. Because I didn't know how.
That's awesome.
So I started learning early. Since I could start writing, my mom probably still has some stuff. So I write short stories, poems, and songs, movie scripts, and stuff like that.
Woman after my own heart.
Like just expressing myself or how my day was.
Beautiful. Did you have something that you wanted to share out of any of your journals?
Let me see. I brought them because I really wanted to show the mindset.
Yeah.
Like this journal right here, this was my anger journal.
It says, I bite. House of the Dead.
So I had to separate my thoughts because I had to distinguish which thoughts were mine and which ones were brought on by my experience. So I have like different journals. I have like creative journal, anger journal. I had one that I had to turn into my therapist.
Yes.
So all the juicy stuff was in there.
That was the edited version.
This is one of my journals. This is my anger journal. And this is just a note that I wrote in here.
What was the date for it?
3/4/04.
Okay.
So I said,
wow, almost 20 years ago.
20, almost to the day.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
So I said, just to let you know, I have been trying my hardest to be positive. And I put positive in all caps. Like I said, I'm a Capricorn, so sarcasm is my first language. But you take my place and see how positive you can be every day. It's down in me when I get upset and peed off about my mistakes. I really don't understand. I try to see what y'all be talking about, but I really don't understand. I really don't know. And I ripped some haters out, so it was warm. And then he wrote back to me,
I know, right? Like, try to read that handwriting, Remember the days of cursing, y'all.
If you will try to focus on yourself and what you can change about yourself and how you react to things, people, you would probably not get criticized because you would be catered for.
That first part, though, was a word.
Oh, changing. Don't be stubborn.
That's a word though. I mean, I think oftentimes it's very easy for us to focus on things that we can't change instead of the things that we can. Yeah. And you're an amazing example of that. Yeah. I mean, like you, like resilience is like your middle name. Like you just continue to rise after everything thrown after you. So thank you for sharing an excerpt for us. Do you still write today?
Yes.
Like, how often like do you write or journal?
It really depends on like the day.
Mm-hmm.
I am a mother of three and a wife. Amen.
Yeah, we haven't even got there yet, y'all. We're about to get there.
Sweetheart.
Oh, I love that. we coming to that, y'all.
And I am pursuing her, which is little Jamaica's dream.
So
it gets very, very busy because I'm just a one-woman show.
Yeah.
My husband's working, my girls are at school, and I'm pursuing.
Wow. Okay, so you got to take us to, I know you talked a little bit about just, you know, the ins and outs of, you know, growing up and becoming an adult, you know, especially given your childhood. So take us to your journey to becoming a wife and a mother. Like, how did it happen? When did it happen? All that great stuff.
Okay, so we gotta love it.
That's all right.
Okay, so I met my husband when I was in the fifth grade.
Wow, childhood sweetheart for real. So he was there when, in the midst of you being taken out of your mom's home and everything. So what was that like? How did y'all, y'all meet?
That was different. Too good to be true, but it happened. So I met him through my cousin.
Okay.
Like my sister cousin. We grew up together. Mm-hmm. And she was going to a different school. I was in elementary. She was in middle school already. Mm-hmm. And she came home and she was like, talk to boys on the phone and stuff like that. And I couldn't. I was like, who you want to phone with? And she told me, she's like, I want to phone with. And then I was like, okay. She came back. I was like, his cousin want to picture you.
Oh, okay. And I was
like, when you want to picture me, bud?
Taking me back. I was like,
he wants to see what you look like. I'm like, I need a picture of him too.
Exactly. So,
we exchanged pictures and started talking on the phone.
So y'all went to different schools.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's a year older.
Okay. So how did y'all maintain contact while you were
on the phone? Mm-hmm. On and off. And then he came and saw me for the first time. I was in eighth grade. Like, that day was so dope to me.
From the fifth grade to the eighth grade, y'all hadn't met each other?
Mm-mm, just talking on the phone.
Wow,
that's true childhood stuff right there, for real.
Literally just talking on the phone.
And probably the Lord too, but go ahead.
Definitely the Lord. Uh-huh.
So you met him in the eighth grade. Tell us, what was that like?
So he came by my grandma's house to see me. Aww. And he was trying to get me to leave with him and his cousins. And I'm like, no.
Tell him, Johnny. Tell him, Johnny.
You was not going to get me beat up.
Man. Yeah.
No, I'm not going. And I had just had a good day too, because I had went to see one of the stars that was like on the upcoming. It was Lil Corey. And he had came to the mall.
Oh, dope. Okay. Got it.
Not the mall. He came to the village.
Got it.
And I went up
there. Oh, God. You take me back. I've been to the village, Lord.
I came up here. I got my autograph. I had the team for him and his manager. I got to dance with him. All that. And I was like, okay. So I felt like it was
my time.
I felt like I was about to become the superstar.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Not yet. We're not yet.
This is before he came. I'm on the phone with the manager.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my manager. I'm like, if you would just let me come on the road, you could see how talented I am. And I sing, I dance,
I play music.
I'm just selling myself, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, sweetie, I'm not looking for any talent right now. Mm. Is your mom available for me to talk to? And I'm like, well, I could give you her number, but she might go say no.
At least you honest. That's hilarious. At least you honest.
So he ended up coming by, and we hugged.
This is your now husband came by the time. Okay, yeah. So he came.
I'm like, you tall. Okay. So he's like, you're so little. We hugged. Mm-hmm. My grandma invited him in. He didn't want to come in. Mm-hmm. So I was trying. He a Capricorn too.
Uh-huh.
So he left because he wanted his to leave him, and we hadn't seen each other since he came and saw me in 2010.
So my goodness. But y'all kept in touch that whole time?
No, we lost contact. My freshman year, I got a boyfriend, and he had a girlfriend, and I won't be his friend no more.
Got it. I'm scared. You do you, I'm gonna do me. Hey,
I don't
think it's funny. Yeah, so 2010, y'all reconnect.
Mm-hmm. He found me over.
Okay, at this point, had you had any children yet?
No.
Okay, so y'all reconnected in 2010, and was it just like pick up where we left off, or was it
literally?
Wow.
Literally, that's so sweet. He wrote me in my inbox. I didn't get the message instantly. I think I got it like maybe a few days.
Yeah.
A week later or something like that. Cause I was at my grandma's house. I had just moved back from Tennessee.
Yeah.
So I was at my grandma's house. So I had to get on the computer, and at the time I was sharing my computer with everybody, mm-hmm. so I had to wait my turn for my computer.
Yes, never mind. That's, we know. So it's all right.
I got on there, I checked my messages, and I'm like,
"Who was this?"
Dude, that's say Antoine Sweet. And literally a month before he inboxed me, I wrote my man on paper to God and put it in my Bible.
Okay.
So we go back today. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so I'm like, hey, that's
wow.
And he's like, I'm so glad you remember who I am. I'm like, wait, bye. You wait to cry.
Wow.
You knew exactly who you were to
me. Yeah.
Stop it. And he's like, no, I mean, I knew who you were to me.
And so when did y'all get married?
We got married in 2014.
I'll say we got married. We just celebrated 10 years.
That's Congratulations.
That's beautiful. Yes. That's beautiful. And how old are your little ones? Your girls, so, I should say?
Yes, three girls. Mm-hmm. Our oldest will be 11 in May. Our youngest will be 7 in a few days, and our middle daughter just turned 9 in December.
I love it. Oh, that's beautiful.
I mean, listen, as many heads as I caught behind that man sneaking on that phone. Jesus, he better have been who you told me he was.
Wow. Well, you alluded to earlier, like, your purpose and what you're passionate about. So can you, and we know you're a creative, we know you write, we know you sing, we know you perform, all those beautiful things. So, and it sounds like you knew that from an early age, like, okay, which is amazing. And that your mom and those around you really encouraged you to like pursue it. I mean, you know, going to auditions and talking to managers and everything. So how have you used your giftings and your creativity to support those that are around you?
I inspire my children to go after whatever it is that their heart desires, no matter what it is, no matter if it's been too risky or unrealistic, or it doesn't exist at the moment.
Yeah.
You create it, you start it, you make it do what it is. If that's what you want to do in your heart, pursue it. So I gave up on my dream for a long time, which is why I'm now 36 and pursuing. But I had a lot of challenges, a lot of trouble, a lot of this toxicity that I had to heal from before I was able to fully become. I couldn't take that where God took me.
Amen. That's the truth. That's the absolute truth. My goodness.
That's a beautiful story.
It is.
Beautiful testimony. So what tips could you give others seeking to use their creative gifts and talents to share to the world?
I know what works and stick to it.
How has everything that you've gone through as a little girl and now a woman, how has it shaped your parenting? Because all three of your children are girls too, right? So I'm like, how does that shape your parenting?
So I like to do what's called balance.
Okay.
So we do a little gentle.
Okay.
You know, we start about zero.
Okay.
And depending on how quickly things get done to our life,
break it down.
You know, it elevates.
Got it.
If you yelling at me and giving me attitude, oh, okay. That's time we are. Okay.
Yeah, okay. So,
who you talking to?
Exactly. So you gonna get attitude back. Got it. So you extend the grace, and if you need to come in a little bit with the tough love, you come up with the tough love.
You are entitled to feel how you do. Yeah. Your opinion is valid, but make sure you come.
Oh, I know. Toya has mentioned in her More Chronicles, she has talked about just the fact that her three girls are completely different. So do you feel like your three girls are completely different as well?
Definitely.
How does that impact your parenting?
I parent where I feel like I cater to each child specific.
That's amazing. Me,
I'm not like, this is how I am and this is how it's going to be. Mm-hmm. I've been a little bit more for, you know, some or the other. And it's because this is what, you know, they're needed in this area.
Yeah.
So different, you know, kids need different versions of me.
That's beautiful.
Yes.
I sounds agree. Draining too, but that's beautiful.
It is draining. I have four. Three girls and a boy. And so I definitely understand that they need different versions. Ooh, they need different discipline. Mm-hmm. So one kid, like if you just send her to the room, like she's like it's awful.
The end of the world.
Yes. And the other one, like you can just yell at her. Yeah. Or the other one, you just look at her and it's over, like, all right, I don't know, keeping up with how the discipline works and it's a lot.
God bless y'all. Both of y'all.
I now understand what they mean when they say it takes a
village. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Well, can you share with us? I mean, it sounds like you have a lot going on. You're pursuing a lot on top of being a wife and a mother. So what do you feel like this season, this current season that you're in is about? And what do you feel like God is preparing you for?
So self-proclaimed this current season is about really walking as her every day. Like when somebody asks me what I do, I tell them I'm an artist.
Amen. That's what's up. That's what's up.
I'm an artist.
And in so many senses of the word, it's not like, I mean, depending on what day of the week it is, you could be, I'm a recording artist, or we didn't even talk about the fact you do makeup, right?
Yes.
How'd you get into makeup?
I'm creative.
Yeah.
I do all creative arts. I style and design clothes. I do hair and makeup.
See.
I do nails. I do whatever.
That's amazing.
Yeah, nails look fabulous.
They do.
You do that yourself?
No, I did not. Oh. I only got natural oval. These are my real nails.
Oh,
nice.
Nail biter.
Those are beautiful.
Nail biter. These are my real nails. I grow them in remembrance of my great grandmother. She had some beautiful nails. They were so long and pretty. And I was always like, Grandma, why are your nails so long?
Yeah.
Like this. She's like, girl, because you're buying them. The Capricorn
grandma gonna tell you the truth. She gonna be like, "Cause you bite them, sugar."
She was like, "I used to bite my nails too, and they used to be short like that." I can go next.
It's a beautiful way to honor her. Beautiful. Wow. Well, you want to take us into Noble Character?
Yes. So Noble Character is a segment on our show where we allow for the guests to acknowledge a woman or women in their community that has inspired them or inspiring others, leading the way, being role models. So we wanted to give you a chance to acknowledge someone in your life that is a woman of noble character.
There are so many women to acknowledge. My coven of women, obviously, my mom, my aunts, my grandmother, and the new addition to my cousin is my mother-in-law. She has really been like a major support in who I've become.
Amazing.
Versus, you know, who I was.
Yeah. That's beautiful to have a great relationship with your mother in love. Yeah. I know, you know, there's always a stigma. Whenever I talk about my mother in love, that was like, you get along with your mother. I'm like, yes.
Absolutely.
But you know, that's not always the case. So
no,
that's
it's not.
Beautiful. It's so how would you say she influenced you and who you're becoming?
So I am in network marketing.
Okay.
And I got into network marketing because of her, because she is a businesswoman in the sense thereof. She does thousands and thousands of volunteer hours. She works for the U.S. Steel. She does like all these different charities and stuff like that. And I was like, oh my God. Like seeing that, you know, and her working as well. It's like my mom on like, I guess, crack. Like,
wow.
And it's that.
Yeah.
You know, because so it's like, okay, I got the hustle. Now I'm able to learn from another woman the game of how to checkmate,
how to apply it, and this,
because now I'm out the hood and I'm in a different tech.
Dope. Amen for that.
I wanted to give you an opportunity to first tell us her name.
Her name is Arvella Greenlaw.
Arvella Greenlaw.
Arvella Greenlaw.
Did we say it right? You are a woman, of noble character. Yes.
I wanted to give you an opportunity to, I know in your bio, you talked about going from being homeless to a homeowner in 2 months. So I wanted to give you an opportunity to share that story.
So, like I said, I'm a network marketing, and I'm with a company called Total Life Changes, and that's exactly what it is. You know how we are when we're signing up for stuff. We're skeptical, you know, everybody thinks everything is scam. So I'm like apprehensive, you know. But I just have been hearing so many good things about this company and the products and the compensation and things like that. So I went on a sign up because there was somebody that I knew, my mother-in-law wasn't doing it. So I was real apprehensive because I didn't know anybody doing it. But once somebody that I felt I, you know, trust a little bit was doing it, I went on and signed up. And it literally has changed my life. I signed up at the end of 2019, so about May of 2019. I started, you know, working my business and learning business fundamentals and things like that. Right before the pandemic, so we were moving, and when we moved into our new house, that's when the pandemic happened. So I'm live every day doing makeup. And doing my testimony. Sharing, building with my audience, basically. And then we had a house fire. thank God, no life was lost, but it did trigger. Thing for me,
absolutely. Based on how you,
my husband was the last one to come out. I have the tendency to come out, see things that I don't need to be seeing. So, so, we went through that and we had to figure out where we're gonna go because they told us we had less than 72 hours from the fire to have everything completely out of this 4-bedroom, 2-story house with a 2-car garage. A lot of stuff got left behind. However, fully grateful because it was a blessing in disguise. I didn't know that God was about to make my 5-year plan a 2-year plan. I didn't know. And then a 2-month plan because he took the, it happened 2 years into the 5 years, but it sped up and it happened 2 months within the 2 years.
So your 5-year plan was to become a homeowner. So at the time of the house fire, were you renting your home? Okay, got it. Got it. Okay. So you were working that plan, a 5-year plan, and become a homeowner. The house fire happens 2 years in. Okay. And then tell us how that 5-year plan was like sped up.
So we were in a extended stay from the end of October to about Christmas.
Okay.
We celebrated Christmas of 2021. I'm sorry, 2022.
Yeah.
In our home.
Oh, in your new home. Wow. That's amazing.
End of October, like from Halloween
to Christmas. Are there any, are there any like either programs that you would attribute that to? Or was it like insurance or anything that you can like really attribute that?
Yeah, there was to a lot of factors that went into the place, but to God be all the glory.
Amen.
Because nothing but God could have allowed those things that way. So we went through a company called BB. And what that is like a first time owner. So they buy the house and you rent it from them. And then once you are in there for enough time for them to be comfortable, they turn over the lease to you.
Got it.
So we did that process.
Amazing.
And we are homeowners.
That is amazing.
Hey, congratulations.
Once again, God is turning your trauma into triumph, like for real. So that's amazing.
And I don't know what God did to me, but I'm grateful. I'm strapped up, you know, my bootstraps because I know it's going to get.
Hey.
It's going to get, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm ready. Whatever.
I love it. Whatever. Well, thank you so much for sharing your testimony. Yes. This has blessed me tremendously.
Thank you guys. Yes.
Tell you. Good stuff. Do you have anything else before we close out?
be sure to get your merch at our becomingeventoday.com. Get your mugs, your water bottles, hats, coats, jackets,
check it on now.
Slides. Anything else
I mean, there's plenty of stuff on there. I think we got onesies for babies. We have a lot of stuff on there, y'all. So definitely check it out if you haven't at becomingevatoday.com. Buy you something cute, support us in the process. And then I will also say, too, don't hesitate to slide in them DMs, put in the comments, let us know what you want to hear from us. If there are any potential guests that you want us to work to have on here, we want to hear from you because we aim to please y'all. We're here to support you. So, yeah.
And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Becoming Eva Today. And we'll see you guys next time.
Yes.
On the Becoming series.
Thank you so much, Joni. Bye.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast. Check us out at becomingevatoday.com or email us at becomingevatoday.com. See you next time.